Tonight, I want to be kind of casual. I'm even going to preach on the floor. I like to stay up here so you could see me because I'm so short. I get lost behind these chairs. But anyway, I get scared about walking down these steps because I've seen somebody fall while they were preaching before. And that happened when I was like a kid and I still remember it. So I know that there are kids in here. And if I fall off this thing right now, they're going to remember it. And they'll be like 30 years old and they'll be talking about that time that Pastor JB fell off the platform. So anyway, in Acts chapter 9. We can read about a guy named Saul. Now, Saul was a bad dude, and a lot of us know this story, so I'm just going to kind of run through this. Saul was a bad man. He was going around killing Christians, having Christians killed. He was, if you were a Christian in that day and age, you did not want to hear about Saul showing up in your town because he was coming for you, so Acts 9 says, and I'm going to read a lot here, so bear with me. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Let me read that again. Back to Jerusalem in chains. So Saul is not just doing this on his own, okay? This guy is going to the leadership and he's saying, hey, I need help ruining these people's lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be drug anywhere in chains, right? And so he's asking for help ruining lives. Bad guy. He is the bad guy. Every time my daughter and I watch a movie that she hasn't seen, she'll say, she want to know who's the bad guys. And I try to help her understand. Saul is the bad guy. And in fact, we were reading this story together and I told her, I said, he's the bad guy. But see, I knew some spoilers that I didn't tell her. Verse 3, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, this is where something cool happens. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Awkward. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Have you ever been talking about somebody? I'm just going to be honest here. This happened to me. If you ever been like saying something about somebody, and all of a sudden they just like were there, and you turn around, you're like, hey, has that ever happened to you? So think about how awkward this is, man. Saul is going around like getting ready to cause people to die. And all of a sudden Jesus shows up and he says, hey, man, what are you doing? And Saul's like, hey. It's so reading on, he says, it says the men with Saul stood speechless, for they had heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, where he remained blind. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Messed him up so bad, the man didn't even get hungry. And now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. And the Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. Can we just stop for a minute and realize how big this is? Saul goes from killing the Christians, from persecuting Jesus, to praying to Jesus. That fast. And it's because why? Because he encountered Jesus. And let me just preach a little tiny mini baby sermon right here. When someone encounters Jesus through you, they can have a Saul moment. Come on. When somebody encounters Jesus in you, they can have that Damascus Road moment. Saul would have still been killing Christians. He would have still been persecuting the early church, but he had that encounter with Jesus on that road. So make sure that you're ready. You know, we pray, God, open a door for me to witness to somebody. We'll make sure you're ready. Because when Jesus is ready to have that encounter with somebody through you, you need to be ready. And so sometimes we struggle, we have a bad day, and we get mad, and we want to blow up on people. And yeah, that's okay. It happens. Real life, right? But be ready, because you don't know when that encounter is going to happen. Saul did not see a sign that said, Jesus encounter incoming, okay? It just happened. So always be ready. Always be seeking the presence of the Lord. But Lord, cried Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest anyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. What? Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. And immediately, as any man would do, he said, get me some food. It says afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. And so I just wanted to cover that entire story, because tonight I'm talking about moving past your past, moving past your past. Last week, I talked about the God of next. The God of next. What is your next? Are you ready for your next? Are you working towards your next? And I just, as I thought about that and as I remembered, you know, what I spoke about, I thought, you know, I want to talk about the past, because sometimes the biggest thing that gets in the way of you moving to your next is what's in your past. The luggage that you're still carrying, the baggage that you're still carrying can mess you up. There was a young man, just a kid. He was living with his mother, single mom, and she had a boyfriend. And the boyfriend was a violent alcoholic. And unfortunately, this is kind of a common story. But this young man, he would walk in from school, and this man would be laying hands on his mother. He'd be beating his mother. And the mother would scream, and she would say, get away, get away, get away, get away. And there's nothing he could do. So one day, this kid, he goes in and he's sitting in his room on his bed, and he hears the boyfriend beating his mother. He hears the sound of his fists just crunching into her body, just breaking the blood vessels, ruining the skin, bruising, just horrible. He can hear the pain with every impact. And as tears well up in his eyes, as anger and rage just explodes in his heart, the young man gets up. He bursts through his bedroom door, and he runs to fight this man and defend his mother. And the man is big, and so he immediately throws the little boy away. There's nothing he can do. And so he makes a choice. He makes a choice that he will work as hard as he has to, and he will put in as many hours as it takes to become strong enough to defend his mother. So every day he starts doing push-ups, and he does 10 more every day. Every day he does more, every day, until he can reach a certain number. And as time passes, he can still hear his mother being abused. He can still see her come out with dark eyes and broken skin. But he focuses, he focuses, and he works, and he works, and he works, and he works. And eventually he reaches a point where he has tuned his body to this state to where he can defend his mother. And it happens. The man begins to beat his mother again. And so the son runs in, and he is able to rescue his mother. Some of you have seen this man on the football field. His name is Ray Lewis. He's one of the most explosive defensive backs in the NFL. He's retired now, but this guy was insane. He was absolute beast. A SWAT team did an experiment. They had a battering ram to knock a door in. Pretty big deal, right? And so these men, these guys and all their gear got up against this door and they hit it with this ram. And it took them two hits, but they knocked the door in. Ray Lewis lined up against that door and hit it once and knocked it in. He had more power than a battering ram that was designed to destroy a door. He was powerful. He had focused. What was in his past didn't stop him. It drove him. Okay? And so tonight, I want to focus on that. I want to focus on what's in your past, because I want to tell you something. I've got some stuff in my past that still messes me up to this day. I have things that still bother me. Sometimes when I'm alone, I think about mistakes that I have made, things that I have said, things that I can't take back. Do you know when you say something to somebody, you can't get that back? There's an ancient word of wisdom that says it's better to throw a rock than an insult, because the rock can be retrieved. And I think about things that I've done and places that I've gone that I shouldn't have and mistakes that I've made, and I think I can't get over those. I can't get those things back. And I want to tell you something. There is an accuser that wants you to focus on those things. There's an accuser that wants you to worry about those things. Come on, somebody. Some of you have encountered that. Some of you have felt that pressure when you were ready to do something, and you know you're ready. You know there's no reason for you to be afraid, but all of a sudden, here it comes. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. They don't like you. They won't listen to you. Don't listen to it, because it's a lie. A really common theme in Jesus' ministry was facing this accuser, was facing this liar. And Jesus would always be victorious, because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way, and he's the life. Amen? And so when you're facing those things, I want you to remember that my truth is not in whatever happened. It happened. We're not going to forget it. But we're not going to let it hold us back. We're not going to let the things that happened in our past, maybe we did them, maybe someone else did them to us, but we're not going to let those things stop us. You see, Paul, or Saul, I really just want to say the P, okay? Because that's the best part of the story. So Saul, he gets healed and he begins to minister. And what happens? We all know he changes his name. Now, Saul was a very creative man. So he thought, and he came up with a very creative name. He changed his name from Saul to Paul. So nobody would ever recognize. Now, don't you know, when that man sat there and began to write most of the New Testament, don't you know that there was a voice in the back of his head saying, "Paul, you can't write this"? When he wrote Corinthians, and he wrote how to run your church, most of the things that we base how we run our church off is rooted in Paul's writings, in Paul's teachings. And don't you know, whenever Paul started to write these letters, whenever Paul wrote the book of joy, when he talked about renewing your mind and following Jesus and crucifying yourself, don't you know there was a voice in the back of his head saying, "Paul, you're a liar. You're a hypocrite. Paul, you did bad things, man. You can't talk to people." Don't you know there was fear? When Paul was facing death, I believe that he was brave. I believe it. But don't you know there was some fear? This man knows he's about to die, but he faced it because that was his next. He said, I finished the race. He had come to terms with his past. He had come to terms with the things that he had done, and he had given those things to Jesus. And that's what we've got to do, church. Give those things to Jesus. Some of us in this room are harboring things that are so heavy. Some of us are carrying things that are so heavy. And it's hard not to. We pray about it. And we say, bring it to the altar, brother, sister. Bring it to the altar. But you can pray about it all you want. You're never going to forget it. You're not going to. You can't forget people, places, and things that have hurt you, times that have hurt you, that have damaged you. You can't forget those things. So what do? You constantly reconcile those things with Jesus. You say, Jesus, you are my Redeemer. And even though this happened, I can trust in you. And so as we move forward, always forward, God doesn't ever want us to move backwards. We talked about this. God is the giver of life. Death is the opposite of life. God's a giver of life. He's a creator. He's the one that makes things grow. And I know that God wants me to progress. I know that God wants me to move forward, that he has a future and a plan and a next for me. And the only way for you to move forward, the only way for you to remain living, following Jesus, is to let the past be the past. And so I wanted to just bring this up because, like I said, a lot of us have had a long year. A lot of us have had a tough year, but it's a new year. It's 2020. And if we don't preach a message that says something about vision in 2020, then we have missed the mark. But seriously, those things, that damage, those heavy things, leave them in the past. You can remember, but I want you to remember it this way. I want you to remember the victory. I want you to remember how Jesus brought you through. That's what I want you to remember. Don't you remember the tragedy. Remember the restoration. Come on. Don't remember the tearing down. Remember the building back up. Because that's what God blesses us with. He blesses us with life, and he blesses us with an abundance of his presence. So we don't need to be thinking about what happened. We need to be thinking about where we're going and following him. Amen. I just wanted to speak about that briefly. I just feel like a lot of us, we've gone through some stuff. Full disclosure, I've gone through so much this year. Facing a layoff at work, facing threats of being laid off again at work, worrying about my children, you know, who's going to provide for them, all this stuff, my faith being shaken. And I think all of us in this room have faced a trial this year that was huge. Just as a family, we know we have. But we're through it. Some of us are still facing a few things, but those things that happen, leave them in the back. God's got that. Don't bring them back. Let's live. Let's follow Jesus. Amen. I want to pray for you before we dismiss tonight. And so if you will, just stand with me together. I want to pray that God blesses us with perseverance. I want to pray that God blesses us with knowledge, knowing that he's got this. No matter what we are facing, no matter what tragedy befalls us, no matter what battle we find ourselves in the middle of, God's got this. Amen? Jesus, I pray tonight that you just speak into the hearts and minds of everyone here. God, that your Holy Spirit continuously surrounds us, that we can always feel your presence. And God, that the things that you've brought us through, let those things be in the back, God. Those things are gone. Those things are behind us. And even though we may never forget those things, God, let us be moving forward. Even though we may never forget the heartache and the hurt that those things may have caused us or have caused us, God, let us focus on the victory that you give, on the life that you give, and on the power that you give us to persevere. Because, God, if you're for us, then who can be against us? We believe in you, and we're going to serve you. God, as we move forward into 2020 and beyond, we are going to serve you with all of our ability. God, with all of our heart, we're going to give you our faith, our trust. We believe in you, and we're ready. Jesus, we praise you. Amen. Elevate family, I love you. We are having service Wednesday night, so come hang out. Mudbugs, come hang out. Ladybugs, come hang out. Adventure Club. Yeah, we're going to have fun.